Let's bow for prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the men that are here this morning. And Father, I just pray that in the future we'll see more join us for Sunday school. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time that we have to study your word. Help me, Lord, to present the truth of what your word is teaching clearly. And we just ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And again, when I say in Jesus' name, I'm invoking the most powerful name in the universe. So we're going to have a great Sunday school this morning because we have Jesus with us. Again, you know, this series of lessons, and we're continuing, and it's a lot of it has to do with the trial of your faith, right? And so I'll just say that, you know, in the face of adversity and sometimes temptation and even accusation, we need to keep ourselves encouraged in the Lord, okay? Don't just be a victim of your circumstances, okay? Remember that, and I think somebody said this when the men were praying this morning, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we can overcome, and we cannot let the trials of adversity steal our passion for God and his work. This morning, we're actually going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 30, although we will be going to 1 Peter chapter 2 in a little bit, but 1 Samuel chapter 30. Give you a moment to get there, and we're going to look at verse 6. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. All right. And here's what it says. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So what a great thing that he did. You know, he didn't, you know, I don't know how bad you've ever had it, but I don't think you've ever had anybody, you know, a bunch of people wanting to stone you, right? And yet he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, just to give you a little background of what's happening there, if you remember, David and about 600 of his men had been away from Ziklag on a military mission. And Ziklag was a Philistine town that actually was given to David by Achish, the king of Gath. And so while David and his men were away, the town was basically ransacked by the Amalekites, who came in and took captive all the women and children, and then he burned the town down, is what they did. It was kind of a common thing, I guess, you know, that's how they did things. And so in their anguish and anger, a lot of the men turned on David and blamed him for the disaster. But David, what did he do? He didn't panic, okay? Instead, he encouraged or strengthened himself in the Lord. And he then led his men, and this is what I think is really cool about this, is he then led his men in pursuit of the Amalekites and successfully rescued all of the captives. Okay, it's amazing what can happen when you turn to God. And what looked like a hopeless situation, because obviously the men were in despair, you know, that all the women and the children were taken. The town was burned down. I mean, it couldn't look any worse than that. And yet, in a very short period of time, David was able to recover all of the captives. And so that should really encourage us, you know, whatever we're facing, and we're facing, you know, life throws challenges our way. Like I was telling a lot of you men, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live in a week and a half, okay? But it's all right, because God is in control, all right? And Sam reminded me, I've got two homes already, my one in heaven, which I mentioned, my church home right here, and I thank God for that. And so now I'm just working on the third one. All right. So I'm very encouraged by this scripture. I mean, the Lord had me prepare this in just the right time. And why? Because he's in control. Charles Spurgeon once said, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. Amen for that. Now, we can turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we've spent obviously a lot of time in 1 Peter. And we're going to look at verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. And here's what it says, having your conversation, again, that's your manner of living, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So kind of a key phrase in that verse that I want you to consider is, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold. Okay? So God is the light shining through us. We don't have to produce the light. We just need to keep the bulb clean. So don't be a dim bulb, okay? Let your light shine. Billy Graham said it this way. He said, we are the Bibles that the world is reading. We are the creeds that the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding, okay? Or as I've said many times, you are the biggest Christian that somebody knows, okay? So let your light shine. In Psalm 51, verses 2 and 7, we read this, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then in Psalm 79, verse 9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Now, you know, most of us have a full-time job just making sure that we're right with God. We all know 1 John 1:9, but I'll just quote it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that was written to Christians, okay? So when we do that well, God will give us opportunities to be used in a great way. So you need to focus on your life, and God will make sure that your light is effective. Or, as Pastor Cook has reminded us many times, keep your sin account short, okay? Don't let sin go unconfessed before your head hits the pillow that evening. Now, back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, there's another phrase, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, people can deny what you say, but it's really hard to deny how you live. Okay? Think about that. They can argue with you. You know, have you ever been trying to present the gospel to somebody and they just want to get into a debate with you? And you know what? I love a good debate, but I have to refrain myself because I'm not there to debate. I'm not going to win somebody to Christ because of my skill as a debater, okay, or even my knowledge of God's word. It's, you know, I'm just there to present the truth of the gospel and let the Holy Spirit grab hold of their heart, because it's not up here, it's in here that counts. I gave you a little heartbeat there. But yeah, you know, and we have to have faith, okay, in God that through his Holy Spirit, conversion will happen, okay? Because I think sometimes, you know, when Christians are trying to, you know, they're out there soul winning and presenting the gospel, but they're trying too hard, okay? Just present the truth of the word and let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. You know, when that happens, I had the privilege of leading two gentlemen to the Lord about a week ago, and, you know, their lives are going to start to change. You know, sanctification, that process has begun. They're in church this morning. Okay, and they're going to learn more about Christ and how to walk the walk for Christ. And I would say this, that there is tremendous power in a changed life. When people see how a person was before they got saved and then the transformation that takes place after, okay, that's a tremendous power. That is a person's testimony. And particularly, you know, if you've lived some time and where that contrast is much more evident, it has tremendous power. And oftentimes the testimony of a changed life goes farther and accomplishes more good than a dozen sermons or... Okay? Again, people are watching us. Now in Mark chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we read this. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Notice they didn't come out to see what was said. They came out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Okay? It's one thing to hear about it, but they actually saw what happened in this man's life. And this story, of course, recounts the time that Jesus sent the demons into a herd of pigs, and then they ran violently over a cliff and drowned in the sea. The man who was possessed was in the country of the Gadarenes, and it really had an impact in that region. Everybody heard about it, okay? So a changed life is such a powerful testimony, and that's what people need to see. In John chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And this man, who do you think they're talking about? Yes, they're saying Jesus is a sinner. Why? Because he's not following what? You know, man's teaching. He's following what is right. And so the blind man, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Okay? His life was changed, at least physically. He was able to see. And that was a test of what Jesus can do. Okay? And we don't know what happened, you know, beyond that story with this blind man, but I'm hopeful that he put his trust in Jesus Christ. Okay. So there's a true story that kind of illustrates what we're talking about here. It's the case of George Mensick. George Mensick was a member of Al Capone's gang in Chicago back in the 30s, okay? And some of you may be familiar with this, but he lived an awful life of crime and drugs and vice. And his wife, on the other hand, came to know Christ as her Savior. And she diligently lived for her Savior and prayed for her husband earnestly. Well, one night, Mensick came home intending to kill his wife and his little four-year-old daughter. This is how depraved he had become. He stormed into the house, and he was drunk, and he was out of his mind. As his wife met him, he struck her with a pistol and knocked her unconscious. Then, thinking that he had killed her, he barged through the doorway of the bedroom with the intent of shooting his little girl. This is what this guy was going to do. But as the door swung open, there was his little four-year-old daughter on her knees praying. And the words of that little girl struck his heart. She said, "Lord Jesus, please save my daddy. Lord Jesus, please save my daddy." And George Mensick, I mean, he sobered up right there, okay? He fell to his knees, trusting Jesus Christ, okay? God changed his life and used him as a preacher of the gospel. He became an evangelist and would tell stories of how God changed his life. And George Mensick, by the way, he had an open door into every major prison in the United States. And he won hundreds of inmates and many on death row to Christ. He had been a partaker of this world, but God saved him and made him a pilgrim. And he'd be the first to tell you that he wasn't perfect, okay? But by God's grace, he made progress. He wasn't perfect, but he was making progress. So we need to ask the Lord today what progress he wants us to make. And then watch God use your testimony in a marvelous way. And he can do that. Okay? So it's not just a matter of, you know, keeping your testimony. Yes, we want to do that. But how can you use your testimony for the honor and glory of Christ to advance his kingdom? You know, John Newton was the former slave trader whose life was transformed by Christ and who, because of that transformation, wrote Amazing Grace. And when you consider the life he led, you can and then he had gotten saved, you can see why he was so amazed that God could save even him. And here's what he said. "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am." And so, it's going to be a little short today, but I want to leave you with 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All right. And that's, you know, that is a changed life when that happens. You know, we've been praying for a young man, Justin. And, you know, I really think God could use him in a powerful way if he would just surrender his heart and life to Jesus. And he could reach people that I can't reach. Even now, he could do that. And the next time I talk to him, I'm going to tell him that. You know, in spite of all the trouble you've been in, you are the biggest Christian that probably just about any of those people know that are in there. So start acting like one and then start, you know, telling them that you got saved. Okay? So we'll stop there. And just want to open it up if there's any comments, questions. Yes, Brother Mel. Yes. That's right. Yeah. Yep, yeah, no. And it does take faith. And so, Brother Mel, just expanding on this matter of that, you know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, reminds us that there are many examples of that in Scripture, where God helps his people overcome what seem to be insurmountable odds, certainly from a human perspective. Sometimes, you know, the mountain that we have to climb just seems impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so, yes, you're absolutely right. Anybody else? A comment, question, anything? Yes. Yes, she did. I believe that she did. So she was knocked unconscious. He struck her with the gun, and it the force of it kind of slammed her against the wall, and then she fell unconscious. And which actually, you know, here again, you know, God working things out, you know, he thought he had killed her. Because if he didn't think that he had killed her, he might have gone and finished the job. You see what I'm saying? And then he goes in and he sees his little girl praying for him. And, you know, that testimony that the little girl had changed him more than any counseling, you know, could have. Probably, you know, more than any sermon could have. God used his little girl, you know, and what a change in his life that he became an evangelist. That's just amazing. That's what God can do. You've probably all heard that saying that, you know, one plus God is a majority. And but I've been reminded that, you know, God doesn't need the plus one. God is the majority himself. And he can do anything. And we just have to put our faith and trust in him and just understand that he's in control. And he's got everything well in hand. All right. If there's no others, then we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you again for your word and the truth that it teaches. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to apply what we've learned today to our lives. And Father, just let our light shine so that others can see Jesus through us, and help us, Lord, to share the gospel. Invite people to church, Lord. We have a mission field here around Harvest. There are so many that need to hear the truth of your word and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be a good witness. I ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.